Hello and welcome to another episode of the Matthew Talks About Sport podcast. My name's Matthew and I'm sorry we haven't done one for a couple of weeks, but this episode I'm joined by my dad again. Welcome to the show, Dad. It's great to have you on.
Thank you very much for having me.
And today we're going to be talking all things AFL finals. This will also kind of act as a one-year anniversary episode because I completely forgot about that. So, yay, I've been doing this for a year and moving on. So, thank you. To the sports wrap now, the NRL, that's been chugging away. They have two rounds left. Panthers have wrapped up the minor premiership. Top four seems pretty set because the Eels have a tough run home, but maybe they could knock out the Storm, but Cowboys and Sharks are pretty safe. Top eight, it's going to be interesting, but the Broncos are slipping a bit, but it's looking like it'll be Eels, Roosters, Rabbitohs, Broncos, and then the other teams, Raiders and Drag. Just Raiders are the only team that can make the eight from here anyway. So that's what's been going on in the world of NRL. In the cricket, the Big Bash Draft, the premium or the platinum players were announced. So top 12 international players, they'll be picked in the draft. I think that might be this week, actually, but I'll double check that. Commonwealth Games has ended since the last time we did a podcast. That's how long it's been. Australia just won everything as per. Supercars had a round in Sandown over the weekend. It was pretty interesting to see someone giving it to Van Gisbergen a bit. Davison did well in the first race, but Van Gisbergen just dominated the second two, as he has done for the whole year. He's more or less got that championship wrapped up now. It's a 500-point lead to Waters, and Waters can only make up 300 points around. The team's championship, however, is pretty interesting and close. If I can actually get it up, that would be nice. And I can't, so I'll come back to that later on. So now we're going to move over to the AFL, and one last thing to mention, the sports wrap. AFLW starts this week. NRLW started last week. It's important to mention those. But AFL, round 23 happened over the weekend. That means the pre-finals bye is this week. And we're just going to quickly wrap up the seasons of the teams who didn't quite make it, starting with the bottom two, North Melbourne and West Coast. Two wins, 20 losses. Both had shocking seasons. What do you make of them, Dad?
North Melbourne were always going to struggle this year. They probably struggled more than we anticipated because they kept getting thrashed, not just getting beaten. They'll be very pleased to know that Alistair Clarkson is coming to coach them next year, so they'll have a fair bit of spring in their step that they might start bouncing up the ladder a little bit. I think West Coast are in a whole world of hurt. One of our early season predictions might be that they would fall. They still have a fair amount of, talent on their list, and I think they grossly underperformed to only win two games in a whole year with the list that they had, I think is really surprising in a bad way. And they've got a lot of work to do to turn that around. In the past, West Coast have bounced back quite quickly from four seasons, but I think they've got to go with this one because they've still got quite a bit of high-age talent that they've turned over, so that might take a couple of years.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how those two teams rebuild, especially now that Clarkson has gone to North Melbourne. Going to be interesting to see how Clarkson rebuilds a team. Obviously, he did kind of build that Hawthorn team, although quite a few foundations were there at the time. And I think the Hawthorn team of 05 is probably better than the current North Melbourne team. So it'll be interesting to see where that goes. The next bracket of teams, GWS and Essendon both had poor seasons resulting in coaches leaving. Adelaide and Hawthorn also disappointing. Neither of them really looked like making finals in the second half of the season. What did you make of this next bracket of teams, Dad?
Yeah, so I was pretty disappointed the Giants finished third last. I thought they were better than that. I thought, yeah, I'm not sure what they're going to do, and it looks like there's another player exodus looming as players want to return to Victoria or their home states. So, again, new coach announced the other day, Adam Kingsley. I've only ever heard really, really good things about him as an assistant coach. He's still finishing off at Richmond. Curiously enough, it's unusual for them to announce a coach of a team still in the competition. So that's a bit of a quirky thing that hasn't happened for a few years. And it'll be interesting to see how they rebound. Essendon, they just went from one bumbling effort to another and culminating in a really poor week last week where they undermined their coach to try to poach Alistair Clarkson. It didn't work, and then they sacked him anyway. So they've got a lot of work to do to turn that around. They might bounce fairly quickly, perhaps. You know, they're looking like they're on an upward trajectory 12 months ago. But this might be the mulligan year kind of thing that they have in their progress. But Adelaide, a little bit of progress from the last 2 years, you know, starting to show some signs, but just need to find that consistency to go up the ladder. And Hawthorn, even though they only won 8 games, I think showed that under Sam Mitchell, you know, they're not far from turning things around and coming back up the ladder. So, you know, they're obviously disappointing to only have 8 wins for the year, but showing promise. I don't think any of those, well, I think Essendon, I think I'm surprised we're finished 15th and not sort of in and around the top eight. The Giants, maybe I'm biased, but I probably thought similarly for them. I'm not so surprised that Hawthorn and Adelaide were down around that sort of position on the ladder. I'm sort of half expecting that as the season began.
Yeah, it's probably a bit disappointing that neither of those teams came up the ladder, but they really weren't looking much at it. Moving on to the next group of four teams, these teams definitely had a crack at finals, just missed out. This is where it's going to get very personal for you, of course, Dad, being a Carlton fan. But there was Gold Coast, whose Isaac Rankin has now said he wants to leave. Port Adelaide, of course, with that shocking start, but a really good percentage of 110. St Kilda and Carlton both had great starts this season and lost their last few games to miss. What did you make of this bracket of teams, Dad?
Well, on paper, Gold Coast had their best ever season. They equaled their 10-win record that they had in 2014, and their percentage is over 100 for the first time ever. So, you know, signs of improvement there. There's still quite a young list. I think recruiting Levi Casbolt and Marvio Chol really helped their forward line function and helped them to kick competitive scores. So that would be looking to improve next year. Port Adelaide, a bit of a surprise for them to fall down the ladder the way they did. Lots of speculation around Ken Hinckley as their coach and things. Hard to know what direction they're heading in for the next season. Some people think they'll bounce back. I really don't know if they will or not. St Kilda, I think, would be a little disappointed. They kind of, from the half, I think at halfway they turned to 8-3. And finished at 11-11, so not a good back end of the season for them. Carlton, lots to like about the first half of the season, but in reality, in the second half of the season, they won 4 and lost 8, and including losing their last 4 in a row. So even though there were some tragic circumstances in that they should have won their second last game against Melbourne, but missed out with 10 seconds to go. They should have beaten Collingwood on the weekend, lost by a point. You know, they have a 12-win season and missed the 8. That's a bit sad. Missed the 8 by 0.5%, the Western Bulldogs. That's a bit sad because you look back and go, we just need to kick 2 more goals in the whole year. We didn't even have to win those games. We just had to kick 2 goals and we would have been ahead. So, yeah, pretty disappointing. Carlton become the first team since 1977 to be in the top 8 every week until the final round and then fall out. I saw another stat the other day that said Carlton were in the top 8 for 22 weeks out of 23. Only 4 teams were better than that. And the team that tipped them out of the eight, the Western Bulldogs, have only been in the eight for 4 weeks. And they're going to play finals and Carlton are not. I was gutted on Sunday when they lost and fell out of the finals. But I hope that they use this as motivation to spur them on for future years, because it really hurts to be missing the finals at the moment.
Yeah, certainly a lot of heartbreak for Carlton in particular. St Kilda had fallen off long before then, but yeah, it's a disappointing end to what looked like a promising season. One final thing before we get on to the games in the finals. There's a brilliant website called Squiggle, which does a lot of AFL analysis. They have a rate my ladder section. And I did a ladder prediction preseason. I've got a score of 65, which is a C. But they've also compared all the experts in the AFL media, and I come third. So that's just a little brag there. I'm just behind Peter Ryan of The Age and Damien Barrett of AFL Media. My biggest screw-ups, I tipped Collingwood to come 16th. We'll get to them a bit later, and GWS to come 6th, who, of course, they were the team that did come 16th. But I got 6 out of the top 8. I tipped Carlton in instead of Richmond. And I got 2 of the top 4, but the other top, well, other than Collingwood, but Geelong I had in 5th, and I had Brisbane and Freo in there, and they came 5th and 6th. So I'm happy with how I did in that regard. So I did do well on the predictions this year. Now, moving on to the matches, we'll start with the matchups. We'll go through firstly where we think this game will be kind of won and lost, what will be the important factors to look for, and then give a prediction. So firstly, on Thursday night, it's the 6v7 game. It's Brisbane-Richmond. Now, the path for these two teams is they need to beat the winner of... They need to win this game, then beat the winner of Melbourne-Sydney, then the winner of Geelong... the loser of Melbourne-Sydney, then the winner of Geelong-Collingwood. And then that will get them into the grand final. That's their path. So... Dad, what are your thoughts on this game for next Thursday?
I think this is one of the games that's hard to pick. I think Brisbane at the Gabba, but in recent years they've got a poor record in finals and also including in that at the Gabba. Speculation about whether Dustin Martin will return to the Richmond lineup. I think Richmond are in pretty good form. I think Tom Lynch is in excellent form. And so the matchup there, I assume he'll probably get Harris Andrews. I'm not sure. I think his key, of course, Richmond have had 2 suspensions from the final round, including Cam Rayner. So that will diminish their team a little bit. I just think Richmond are in better form. I'm actually tipping Richmond to win this game. I'll be barracking for Brisbane, though. But I think they come in, they're equipped. Brisbane played really poorly in round 23, and I think they're just sort of spluttering to the line. They're very inconsistent, and I think Richmond are just a little bit more trustworthy in current week-to-week performances, but also more trustworthy in finals at the moment. I think Daniel Rioli's played very well down back. Shai Bolton has been fantastic sort of as a mid and forward. I think Tom Lynch is probably in the form of his career at the moment. And I think, you know, people like Castagna, Prestia, those guys, they're in ripping form. So I think... home ground advantage for Brisbane will probably help them. Well, I hope it helps them a lot. But my heart says Brisbane, but my head says Richmond.
Yeah, it's been quite a while since Richmond beat Brisbane at the Gabba, actually, although Richmond, of course, did win the 2022 Premiership there. Sorry, 2020 Premiership there. They've only played once there since. Like you said, going to be interesting to see which players Brisbane will have available to them, obviously given some of the recent incidents. On form, definitely Richmond are a better team. Although, again, home ground advantage to Brisbane, and Richmond have won the last two games, but they're both close. And I think there's an element where Brisbane could regroup. But yeah, it'll be an interesting one to observe. I personally am going to be tipping Richmond in this game, and I'm going to tip them by 11 points. What about you?
Yeah, I'm tipping Richmond, and I think probably two or three goals.
Yeah, okay. Moving on to the next game. This is a Friday night game, Melbourne versus Sydney. Now, the path, it's at the MCG. The path for these two teams is a bit complicated because the winner and the loser both stay in finals. So for the winner, they will have a bye in the semifinals and then a preliminary final against a team from the other side of the bracket. The loser will play the winner of Brisbane Richmond, and then if they win that, the winner of Geelong and Collingwood. This game's at the MCG. These are probably, I think most people would agree, these are the second and third best teams in it. Sydney come in some excellent form, Melbourne in some less good form. Sydney won the last time these two teams played, and that was at the MCG. How do you see this game playing, Dad?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing up for grabs this week is home ground advantage in the preliminary final, because if Sydney can get that, that would be a huge boost to their chances of making the grand final. I think Melbourne at their best beat Sydney, but can Melbourne play at their best? That's the question. The experience, now that the finals have come around, will they be sort of excited again and up for the game? I suspect they probably will be. I don't think the MCG holds any fears for the Sydney Swans. I think they play that ground pretty well. They have some younger folk who have had good seasons that will be tested in finals conditions, but they've also got a lot of hardened warriors in their team who we know will play well under pressure. So I expect probably the Melbourne midfield will probably dominate and give their forwards a chance. The Melbourne forward line is probably their weakest link at the moment, so how well they connect the midfield to entries inside 50 and their forwards marking the ball, how well they play team football, looking at you, Mr. Fritsch. I think probably with guys like Oliver and Petrarca, Gorn and Brayshaw, May and Lever at the back, I think Melbourne have probably got enough guns that they'll win. But equally, I wouldn't be surprised to see Sydney win, but I think Melbourne rightly will start favourite, and I predict that they'll win.
Yeah, I feel like if Sydney get a roll on in the first quarter, I think they can carry that momentum. And Melbourne are a team that seems to get really dejected really quickly this year, where as soon as there's a bit of pressure, they do start to crumble. That being said, if they can keep up the pressure, then look out, because they will destroy you. So this is a really interesting game where Sydney's a momentum-based team where once they get a roll on, they look unbeatable. And Melbourne's a momentum-based team in the sense of once a couple of things go against their way, they start to crumble, which is going to be really interesting to see how those two things play out. And could be worrying if Sydney do get a roll on where that will end up. Although for my tip, I don't think they will. I think Melbourne's going to win this one. I think it'll be fairly comfortably 22 points, but, it'll be a challenge. But what's your tip and prediction for this game?
Yeah, my prediction is Melbourne, and I just find margins so hard. So I'll say 3 to 4 goals.
Yeah, okay. Next up is the Saturday Twilight game, Geelong versus Collingwood at the MCG. Do not get me started on Geelong home finals at the MCG against MCG tenants. Because that is an absolute disgrace. We are two wins clear of everyone else, and I got myself started, so I'll put a stop to that now. This is going to be an interesting game. Collingwood, the luckiest team ever, breaking the record for most wins by under one goal and under two goals. They have a shocking percentage for a top four side. That being said, they're probably going to come in and roll Geelong now that I've said that, and knowing our finals record. Geelong hasn't won a game in week one of finals since 2016, which is disappointing given the fact that even in that year, we then choked it in the third round of finals. And the path for these two teams are the winner goes into a prelim to play the winner of the semi-final on the other side of the draw with Brisbane, Richmond, Melbourne, Sydney. The loser will play the winner of the Fremantle Bulldogs game, if you can wrap your head around that. It's kind of hard to explain, but it makes sense written down. So just go to the AFL website. There's some explainer. Putting aside the complete biases of Geelong hosting Collingwood at the MCG, how do you see this game playing out, Dad?
Game for Geelong, obviously, because of their recent finals history. But this is the best shape I think Geelong have entered a final series for quite some time. I think they've been looking forward to this game. They've been preparing for it. How many in a row have they won now?
13, I believe it is. We were 5-4. We're now 18-4.
Yeah, so 13-game winning streak. So they're in form. Played Collingwood earlier in the year. Collingwood had a 5-goal lead and Geelong ran them down. They won't want to give up a 5-goal lead. Problem is, if Geelong get a 5-goal lead, Collingwood are in the habit of running those sort of scores down from the opposition as well. So Geelong have got to be careful to make sure they play it out right to the end. I think really pleasingly for Geelong this year is they haven't relied solely on, you know, your Selwood, Dangerfield, Hawkins. There's been a lot of uplift from other team members, especially Guthrie and Sam De Koning down the back, and Stengel in the forward line has been a wonderful addition for them. And I think they're primed. I think if Geelong will probably get on top in the contested ball, Collingwood are very poor in that area. I think Geelong will probably have first use of it, and I think they're good enough to exploit the Collingwood defensive system to kick a winning score. But they won't want to relax at any stage because Collingwood will come back, and with the game at the MCG, it'll be full, and there'll, you know, there'll be at least as many Collingwood supporters as there are Geelong supporters there. So it could get loud quite quickly. Geelong will have to be careful of that. But I think Geelong are primed, and I really hope with my heart that they win and win well. But I'm also with my head thinking they're the best team going into the final series. So I'm going to tip them in round one of the finals.
The great thing about Geelong this year, well, there's just everything. I'm a big fan of this team. This game will be a battle of the rising star top two, I reckon. It hasn't been announced yet, but we all know that Nick Dacos will probably come number one because it's a complete rot, and Sam De Koning will come number two, which he...
How is it a rot? He's had the best first year of any player ever.
Because De Koning deserves it because he's a Geelong player and the Geelong player should win it. We never have young players. The one concern for Geelong, Jeremy Cameron might not make it. He's equal third goal scoring in the Coleman medal, equal first for Geelong. He's fourth in the league for score involvements and second for Geelong, of course. Should be safe with Hawkins and Stengel and Myers and Close and all of them. Tom Atkins in the middle in the second half of the season has been an absolute revelation, which will be great to see. And then, you know, Tom Stewart, Sam De Koning, Asava Radigalia going down back in round 23. That'll be a really interesting scenario to see if he does persist in that role, how he'll go in finals footy, because he looked really well down there, but that's the first game he's played down back in his career last week. So for me, in tipping this, I have to tip Geelong because I'm a Geelong fan. I'm confident, so I'm going to go by 28 points. What about you, Dad?
I'm tipping Geelong by 20.
Yeah, okay. And moving on to the last game, the Saturday night game over in Perth, Fremantle versus the Bulldogs. One of the first headlines you see when you open up the AFL website is Fremantle star to be cherry ripe for finals, and that's referring to Nat Fyfe. So that's a positive for Fremantle. Obviously, the Bulldogs only just snuck into the eight, but they're prone to make a deep September run. The path for these teams, if they win this game, they'll then play the loser of Geelong Collingwood and then the winner of Melbourne Sydney. So how do you see this one playing out, Dad?
This is a great game of finals experience versus finals rookies. A game in Perth against the Western Bulldogs, you'd imagine that Fremantle will start favourite and deservedly so. I actually think the Bulldogs haven't been in great form. They sort of really stumbled, struggled to beat GWS and Hawthorn in the last two rounds, which was enough to get them past Carlton. But Carlton at the same time should have been beating Melbourne and Collingwood. So I don't think the Bulldogs are in great form. I don't think they've been in great form all year. But as you say, have got a history a couple of times of waking up in round one of the finals and going bang. So Fremantle, if they can settle into the game, control their nerves and enjoy the experience, I think Fremantle on their home deck should be far too strong for the Bulldogs. But they are inexperienced in finals, and the Bulldogs are thoroughbreds, if you like. And so they'll know what to do. They know what to expect. They know how to do it. And I don't think Fremantle just need to make sure they settle into the game as quickly as possible and get the game on their terms. Should be right.
Yeah, they should be. Sorry, just excuse my technical difficulties of dropping my microphone there and cutting out for a second. It's all twisted now. It's going to be, I think I agree with you, Fremantle. If they can just settle in, play their game, they will do well. Zoom is wrapping us up because I haven't paid for Pro yet. So I'm going to jump straight into the prediction. Fremantle, I am going to tip. I reckon this will be the biggest margin, 35 points. Just a bit of a gut feel that Freo will come out and play well. What do you think, Dad?
I think if Fremantle win, it'll be a big margin, sort of, I think 30 to 40 points. If the Bulldogs win, I think we're looking at under 10.
Yeah, okay. So one last thing to do now, of course, for the finals is to predict the rest of it. So I'll go first. Obviously, having this week to be Richmond, Melbourne, Geelong and Fremantle, that sets up week two where Richmond plays Sydney in Sydney. I'm tipping Sydney for that. Winner of that game will play Geelong. I'm tipping Geelong for that game to go into the grand final. The other side of the draw, I have Collingwood hosting Fremantle. I'm actually going to tip Freo to win that game, but then lose to Melbourne. That sets up a Geelong-Melbourne grand final. And I'm confident, so I'm going to tip Geelong. But what about you, Dad? How do you see the rest of the finals playing out?
I think Sydney would beat Richmond up here. And I think it's hard to see Collingwood losing twice in a row. So I'll probably tip Collingwood in week two. And that would set up a Sydney-Geelong prelim, would it?
Yeah.
In which case I'd go for Geelong, and the other prelim would be Melbourne-Collingwood, which would be really interesting because Collingwood have continually beaten Melbourne year after year recently. but I'll tip Melbourne. I think it'll be a Geelong Melbourne grand final.
Yep. So we used different formulas. We got the same result, Geelong Melbourne grand finals, and that'd be one for the ages. I reckon Sydney is in the caliber of those two teams, but I don't trust them enough away from home. But that's going to bring us to the end of this week's podcast. Make sure, everyone listening, that you tune into the AFL finals next weekend when they begin. The AFLW begins this week during the pre-finals bye. Of course, the NRL, NRLW, all that good stuff is going on. But thank you, Dad, for joining me. It was great to have you on.
My pleasure. Thanks very much.
Yeah, and to anyone listening, thanks for listening, and keep coming back to the Matthew Talks About Sport podcast.